And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. And we are broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday morning edition of our broadcast. And we want to welcome all of you, wherever you may be tuning into the broadcast around the world. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. Hope you'll stay with us for the next hour. We'll get things started in just a couple of moments with a devotional message from the Word of God. And that will be followed up as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour with your phone calls. And we hope you'll join us when those phone lines are open and we're ready to receive your calls. Pick up the phone, dial one of these numbers, toll free in all of North America. That number is 800-338-7060. And that, of course, is the toll free number. The local number right here in Baltimore for all of our listeners in the greater Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. And we really welcome your phone calls. We always do here in the Grace Hour and count it a blessing and a privilege when you take the opportunity to share your thoughts with us. And it's a great theme to consider together with you, our listeners, Awakened to Courage. Again, we're kind of piggybacking on the international conference that was held here last week here at the Grace Hour and the Greater Grace World Outreach. And that was, well, that theme was Take Courage. And now we're talking about what it means to be awakened to courage. It's something that all of us need without a doubt. And God spends a great deal of time and all of his resources attempting to pour courage into our hearts. And when he does, that only makes not just such a difference in our lives, but also in the lives of others as well, because what we receive from God, we end up pouring out to others. Because when you receive from God, well, he pours it out in such a way that our cup runs over, and then others are the recipients of those blessings. So we're encouraged today. We'll be looking at a passage from Joshua, the first chapter. And we'll be talking about courage that comes from the presence of God. And think about how many times God repeated to Joshua the importance of being strong and courageous as he was about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. So lots to talk about, and we'll develop that theme with you as the program progresses. We do want to take the opportunity and remind you that you can share your thoughts with us live on gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and share your thoughts and comments and questions. They'll come up on our screen here, and we'll be able to share those with our listeners as well. And if you have questions, we'll address those questions also. The podcast is also being heard live on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, just to name a few. And if you're not able to listen to us live, again, you can archive today's broadcast, catch up with us a little bit later. But we hope many of you will join us live, and many of you, of course, we're hoping will join us when those phone lines open. But without further ado, let's welcome our guest here in the studio today to share from Joshua, the first chapter, on this theme of what it means to be awakened to courage, Pastor Jason Moore.
Thanks, Pastor Love. Always good to be with you. Just a shout out. We were recently in France, and many of our precious brothers and sisters over there tune in fairly regularly. So we want to shout out to them. Many of you, we are just so blessed that you're connected to us. And it seems like wherever we go, people are talking about the Grace Hour. So if that's somebody like yourself, really, just to echo, just reach out to us. It means a lot to know that someone's there hearing us. So love this theme. So many times we heard the word courage, and but I want to approach it maybe from a different angle, if I could. And Joshua 1 is a great chapter, along with Daniel chapter 10. We see that there, before we have an outward expression of courage, there's got to be an inward placement of courage. And when we look at be strong and courageous in Joshua chapter 1, 3 through 10, we're understanding that it's not our strength. And that's obviously something to make a point about in Philippians 4:13, we know that it's God strengthening us. And Daniel chapter 10:19, God spoke strength and courage into Daniel's life, David's life, Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 13. And I want to kind of rest in Numbers 13 for a minute because I think we see something very important, because there's an inner strength that comes from God consciousness. And maybe today you have a lot of things that you're looking at and considering, maybe giants in the land, like we read in Numbers 13. But God consciousness is where the point of strength and courage and endurance and longevity happens. So so there's an inner strength, and we see this in the life of Joshua and Caleb. We see two leaders and 10 followers, two leaders that were spirit-taught, spirit-conscious, spirit-reliant, and then 10 other men that were leaders in their right and mind. But in this situation, they were followers of fear, followers of sight, followers of the natural man. And that's why their confession was not courageous. It was not offensive. It was defensive. It was pessimistic. It was pragmatic. But I love Joshua and Caleb, and I want to focus on Caleb for a minute, because in Numbers 14:24, he had another spirit, and it was fully surrendered. It was fully following God, wholly following God. So Caleb had inner strength. He had inner conviction because he had an inner sanctuary. Caleb, along with Joshua, saw the miracles of God, saw the track record of God, saw the way of God, and he internalized it. He internalized it. And this is why I think we see in Numbers chapter 13 that at 40 years of age, he was there. And then we see him fast forward even up to 85 years of age, where he said, "Give me that mountain." This man had inner strength. He was awoken to the power of God and the conviction of God. And what was his key? I think this is the key here. And let's turn to Numbers 13 together, is that he just didn't take the words of God as information. He didn't just take the words of God as just words. But what he did is he agreed with them, he embraced them, and he took them as words of God. He took them as word of God, and he internalized them. They impacted him. They persuaded him. They taught him. And I think in the day and age that we live in, being spirit taught is so valuable. Because if I'm going to church, if I'm opening my Bible, if I'm just hearing podcasts or reading YouTube or watching YouTube videos, and I'm not having a relationship with the Word of God will not transform my life. So Caleb had a relationship with the Word. He was focusing on the God of the Bible and not just the words of the Bible. And I don't want to separate them, because the Word of God is the living Word. But if I have a relationship with God, then I'll tap into the power and the essence and the power of who God is. And I want to, maybe before I go to Numbers 13, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 today. Courage. Courage. When you read Numbers 13, the ten followers, I'm going to call them, the 10 followers talked all about the giants, even said we're grasshoppers in their sight. They did not have a pioneer spirit. They did not have an explorer spirit, but they had a grasshopper spirit. And so when we are God conscious, and I love Caleb. Caleb was like, "Hey, listen, God said it. We are well able to go and take the land. It's filled with milk and honey. God will give us the power." And isn't that true? It's not how strong we are. It is about how strong our God is. That is where we enter into that courageous spirit, not because we're anything, but because we are focused, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, that we judge him faithful because that is who he is. But I love this in 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says this. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay, we're just a jar of clay, a bag of bones, but that's not the issue. It's the treasure that's the issue. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Boy, and then we see a very real scenario about being pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, without not in despair, persecuted, and so on and so forth. But it's that the excellency of his power may be demonstrated. And that's courage. And that's courage. I think a lot of us do not have power because the word is just information. Maybe we're familiar with it. Maybe it's just like, oh, that worked back then, but now it's a different age. And if you look at the Israelites, they had an incredible track record of the faithfulness of God, and they seem to have forgotten it. And Caleb stilled the people, and it means he interrupted them. It means he interrupted them. And he said, guys, listen, this is the promise of God. This is the words of God. Have courage in God. If I'm results-oriented, self-oriented, if I'm problem-centered, I have a myopic kind of idea, then of course we're going to talk about giants and fortified cities. Of course we are. We're going to talk about what the devil's doing and not what God is doing. But listen, Caleb and Joshua had a relationship with God in the promise, in the promise. Because if I don't have a relationship with God, with the God of the promise, then other prevailing information will cause me to doubt the promise. I love what one writer said, do not doubt in the darkness, do not doubt in the light what God has spoken to you in the darkness. It's so good, so good. So a couple of things, he interrupted the people, and you know what, unfortunately, their ears were off and their hearts were hardened. Another thing about Caleb that we see in this beautiful theme of courage is found in Numbers 14, verse 6. It says that they were repentant and reliant. It said that Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, they searched the land and they rent their clothes. Very, very interesting verse. It means as they were looking, they were repentant in the sense where they had sackcloth and ashes. Renting their clothes means an action of humility, vexation, and a total reliance, crying out to God with their whole self. It didn't say that the other 10 did that, the other 10 followers, I want to say. They're supposed to be leaders, but in this particular case, Satan captured them by sight. And by the way, if I'm walking by sight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 or 7, we will have a confession that's opposite of courage. We're going to have a lot of excuses to back up, shut up, and put up. But instead, Caleb said, we are well able. We are well able. And in 14:24 of Numbers, he had another spirit. What was that spirit? Spirit of faith, spirit of courage, a spirit of conviction, a spirit of single-mindedness. Now, what the power and promises of God impacted him. It was impacted him, and he wasn't impacted by the world. They persuaded him, and he was not living in doubt or double-mindedness. And they taught him. They taught him. So in Deuteronomy 1, 22 through 24, we see that God looks at these 12 spies and says, I have given you a promise. I have prepared the way, and therefore walk in a prepared way. Well, it's interesting if you look further on in Joshua chapter 15, verse 14, Caleb, after the season of the wilderness, we see that he and Joshua are able to possess the land. But in the meantime, he drives out three sons of Anak. And we know the Anakin was part of Goliath's clan. And part of the giants in the land believed, coming from the origin of Genesis chapter 6. But Caleb drove them out, and his family drove them out, and they possessed the land that God had promised. And I just want to say today, fear is powerful. And if I internalize fear, then eventually my feet will be distant, my heart will be distant from God. Well, I love this promise in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold resolutely to the hope we profess, for it is he who promised is faithful. It is he who promised that is faithful. What was the conviction, power, and courage of Joshua and Caleb? It is he that promised, he that gave the declaration. And that is what moved them. You know, it's okay to have to be nervous and cautious and fearful in one sense, but in this regard, like fearful, maybe not confident in our flesh, but boy, isn't it good to say, okay, Lord, we're a treasure and earthen vessel, and we want the excellency of the knowledge of God to come out. This is what Caleb and Joshua were expressing, the excellence of God, the excellence of the promise, the excellence of grace, the excellence of faith, the excellence of the character and nature of God. It is excellent. And this is, I think, so valuable in our world, not to live in fear, self-defeat, or small expectation. And I don't want to quote James Bond here, but I like this statement. We can be shaken sometimes, right? We can be shaken, but we're not moved, right? We're not moved because why? We're internalizing the promise. We're internalizing who God is, and we have a relationship with the Word of the God of the Bible, and having confidence in the Word of the Bible. If the Bible is something I lightly esteem, if I'm not in my Bible, if I don't have a relationship with God in my Bible, it's only a matter of time that we will be drawn away and we'll be grasshoppers in 13:30 of Numbers. Well, just to close here and just to encourage our hearts, it isn't about how strong we are. And I think in Daniel 10:19, that word strength, God is speaking dunamis into Daniel's life when he is weak. And when we are weak, he is strong. He speaks in dunamis. He speaks in confidence. He speaks in courage. He encourages, dispels discouragement. And then all of a sudden, the language of Caleb and Joshua become our language. And we're no longer defining what we see based in what we see, but we're defining what we see based on the truth. I'll just close. Caleb did not allow the information of the bad report to nullify the power of God. Don't nullify the power of God. Don't let doubt is okay if it leads us to a place where we get answers. But if I'm circling in doubt, if I'm circling in insecurity, if I'm circling in a place where Goliath is speaking more to me than the Word of God, then we have to say, no, Goliath is not going to nullify the power of God in my life. Fear did not control Caleb's decisions in his life. And let me ask you today, how much is fear controlling your life? How much is fear doing that? It can very easily sabotage and take over our life, but God is saying, I am faithful. Have a resolute, a total reliance in who I am, because I will never be defeated. My promises will never fail in 1 Kings 8:56. And I will be faithful to drive out the enemy, no matter how big, how powerful, how capable they seem. God says they are defeated already. And last thing, Caleb was motivated by an inner strength, an inner courage, because the promise motivated him. You know, we can have deficit motivation. We can have fear motivate us, and then we're always in this scarcity thinking. But I want to believe God today for our families, our town, our city, our nation. What does God have to say about the upside-down, backwards foolishness that we're seeing? I think Roe versus Wade, I think that is a great example that God is still working. And I'm shocked at the skepticalness of some Christians that kind of like are negative in their outlook about that. I think that was a step of the work of God to answer 50 years of praying. And we can say thank you, Lord, to that. But it's amazing that we allowed the promises to motivate him, and God gave him greater strength in 84:7 of Psalms. And because fear will only magnify the obstacles, but faith is saying, I've given you the land. Fellowship with the God that's behind the promise. Don't let it just be information. Don't let it go through one ear, not the other. Have a relationship with me, knowing that my love will never fail. My grace will always prevail. And my faith will be the perspective of the champions of Joshua and Caleb. Amen.
Amen. Wow, some great
thoughts. That was fun to preach.
Yeah. It's awakened us to courage. Absolutely. Some awesome thoughts from the Old Testament passage, both from the book of Joshua, the first chapter, and the book of Numbers. And it's interesting because everybody knows Joshua and Caleb. Those names are embedded in the memories of our hearts and minds. Very few people know the names of the other 10 spies.
Yeah, it's true.
We don't know their names. And why would we want to know their names? They had no faith. They didn't trust the promise. They had no intention of moving forward into the land which God had given to his people. So it's interesting. You know, we remember the names of those who walk by faith, trust God, have no confidence in the flesh, but place their confidence in who God is.
Mm.
You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, and we look forward to having you join us as we open the phone lines right now. Great time for you to pick up a phone and dial one of these numbers and join us live on the broadcast. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. Dial that number and join us live. The local number here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. I want to send a shout-out to those of you that have already reached out to us. Tanita Samuels, thanks for joining us. R.G. Campbell, who is listening and watching out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Sven, who was here for the International Convention, says, I was so blessed. And for me, a touching moment was hearing from Pastor Matt, who shared about what a vision it is for a Christian tree, the Christian's tree of life looks like. That was an incredible message and a vision given to my heart. And that's from Sven, who is from Berlin, Germany, joined us for the International Convention. Thank you, Sven. Appreciate that very much. And those of you that are listening and watching Facebook Live, YouTube Live, gracehour.org, you can send us your comments or ask your questions that way on our chat, and we'll read those comments and questions right here in our studio. Everyone else, the phone lines are wide open. Time for you to join us, and we hope many of you will accept that invitation. Pick up your phone and join us live. We know that a lot of you were visiting us last week here at our international convention. Many of you have made your way home, and now is a great time to, after having reflected and thought about and digested everything that you received and heard during the international convention, maybe you have some thoughts to share with us and our listeners as well. Some great thoughts, Pastor Jason.
Yeah, I just think this is an important theme for the convention. I think we're going to definitely be challenged as we go into our respective places, absolutely. I just think as we have a relationship with the Word of God is energized and activated in our life, so it's amazing.
Amen. Let's go right to the phones. Yesterday, if you were listening to our broadcast, Rich from Buffalo, New York had called us. We ran out of time. We got plenty of time right now. Rich, thanks so much for joining us and getting back to us. And maybe you'll want to start from the beginning today.
Well, what a treat today to hear and see Pastor Jason.
Is that Rich Farrington?
That's Rich.
Oh.
The one and only.
Oh, I love you.
A Mainer who's made his way to Buffalo, New York.
Yes, imagine I moved to a better climate.
I don't know about that.
You and your brother, I got to say, you and Tom changed my life. Honestly, I'm sitting here today because of your investment. It's so good to hear from you.
It was all God, and it's great to see God using you, starting from the Ukraine and then now in Baltimore. But I think you left a name off of the missions, the local missions. I think you missed Buffalo on that list.
Yeah.
For churches. Yeah, I think I think you need to add that onto the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was saying yesterday that I just am so appreciative of the fact that you put Grace Hour online, that I was able to watch a lot of the services. I got to see the Missions March. I haven't been out to Baltimore, I want to say like 20 years. And it was a real blessing. I was very grateful to the pastors, to all the volunteers who helped, especially those in media that put it online. But I had a couple of comments. One was, you know, I get convention every week. I am learning. I'm out in Buffalo with my family, and I was trying to find a church and having a hard time finding a place where I fit. And it wasn't not too long ago that I realized that I'm great at Grace. I can't fit anywhere else. You know, that's where I fit. And so I started watching services. I've been primarily watching Pastor Jay. I don't think he knows this, but Pastor Jay Estabrook out in New York,
mm-hmm.
Chuck Brookie in Clearwater, Pastor Glenn in Maine, Pastor Norman in Marlboro,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Lee in Silver Springs. I've been watching England, Africa, and of course this place. Did you ever hear of Baltimore?
Yes, we have.
I've been watching some of those too. That was one point I wanted to make. So you can have like convention every week by just
sure.
right online, and you can go and join and hear the messages, and it's great. But that being said, I'm so appreciative of the messages on the Holy Spirit recently.
Yeah.
One of the things I was talking to my sister-in-law, Sue, up in Turner, and I said to her, one of the struggles I was having is the Holy Spirit guiding a person, but also guiding a church, and actually reaching out to the community and being led to bring souls to the Lord and just to really, invest in lives. And that's one of the struggles I've been having. And God was really showing me it was the Holy Spirit that a lot of churches struggle with, that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them. And I'll tell you, when I heard those messages recently, it was just amazing because it just kind of, amened, what God had been putting on my heart. But I just wanted to share those two things, and also the fact that anytime, I'm up here in Buffalo, as of right now, that's where I'm at. I can't move anywhere else unless God moves. So if you could be praying one, if God wants to move and things change, that, he was able to guide me to a Greater Grace Church, or, even more so, it's very desolate out here, a Greater Grace Church. Can you imagine the Greater Grace Church of Buffalo or the Greater Grace Church of Niagara Falls? Can you imagine that?
Sure. So, sure. I think if we put out the option that if a pastor is willing to go to Buffalo, will send him with his own snowblower, I think that'll make a big difference. I think that'll impact him greatly.
It's not as bad as Maine, because the snow melts. Like, they'll get wind from the south, and it melts. So it doesn't just pile up like Maine. So it's not as bad. So anybody who has roots over in New England and is down in Baltimore now, it'd be an easier life for them up here.
Okay. I love that, Rich. Well, we'll pray for that right now while we have you on the air, okay?
Thank you very much.
Father, we first of all want to thank you for connecting us today with Rich, and we pray that he'd be able to make a visit here sometime in the near future. 20 years, too long to not have the opportunity to be with him and fellowship with him, so make that happen. And then secondly, Lord, find him a place where he, in his heart and with his desire toward you, to fit there in Buffalo. And if not, then we do pray that someone would go to Buffalo and start a Greater Grace ministry for not only Rich and his family, but others that need to hear this finished work message. And we're thankful, Lord, for all of the technology that's made it possible for him and his family to stay connected and to be built up through a variety of these messages from all of our tech-savvy pastors around the world. We're grateful for that, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Love you both. great, very, very much a treat to see Pastor Jason today. So
that's awesome.
I was just talking with Pastor Anthony this morning. It's just, I just love how God just keeps us connected, and just knowing that our relationship centered in Christ, we're all growing, we're all learning. It's just always, I was really blessed to see you too, Rich. This is great. Maybe we can catch up offline, off air. That'd be great. Yeah.
But it means, I think we're on Facebook together. So
okay.
All right. Well, you guys have a great day. God bless.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Phone lines are open. 800-338-7060. That, of course, is toll free in all of North America. Right here in Baltimore, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. Fill up the lines. Join us. Love to hear from you, especially those of you that perhaps were here and you've returned home to your respective ministries and had a chance to reflect upon all that God had done and spoken and imparted to you. Maybe you could take the opportunity and share that with us. But in the meantime, now, not a little later, but now is the time to pick up that phone, dial one of those numbers, and join us live.
You know, I just want to say something about Rich. Just my earliest memory, here's a man that invested in young people. His brother Tom relentlessly pursued us as teenagers, gave us Christ, gave us the Bible, took lots of trips. And just to hear from him today, I think something's been awakened in his heart. Like, I hear this all over the United States. Like, I can't find a church that preaches the finished work gospel. And I know sometimes it's hard as we visit other churches. Maybe, if we're out of town, we go to another church, maybe because we're visiting family or something, and we can be a little bit critical, maybe. We can kind of, like, wonder. But there is something to that. I want to say this carefully, and I don't want to be misunderstood, that we have been awoken to grace. We have been awoken to the finished work. We have been awoken to the person of Christ. And legalism and the law and just natural thinking, it just puts us back to sleep. It just is not the message that is opening our heart. And I think 17:15 of Psalms is a great example of that. It says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. It's like, wow. So it's like, how many times have you heard that all over the world, Pastor Love? I mean, it's like, this is a lifeline. It's amazing.
Yeah, and we're grateful for it. And I, too, have those great memories of both Rich and his brother Tom. And, you know, we had some great trips up there to Maine and, you know, co-laboring with them, their youth ministry, a couple of great youth rallies, very memorable. And, just grateful that God continues to connect us and to continue to use us to get some of his work done here on the earth.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb was 40, and then at 85, he was still pursuing and still going after God. So I would just say that it's never too late. If God has touched your heart and inspired you and moves you, then follow the Holy Spirit and in faith and do all that the Spirit says, right? Do all that the Spirit says and continue in this great mission of making Christ known. It's so important.
You know, to get back to your the comments you made in your devotional this morning, Numbers chapter 13 and 14, it really does come down to the promises of God and what God has said. Because Joshua and Caleb, they moved out, obviously, by faith, but it was all, again, grounded in the promises of God. Because we don't have anything to build our lives on apart from the promises of God. It's not about our own strength or our own personal fortitude or our own desire. I mean, all of that can be mixed and mingled with corruption when you stop and think about it. But when it comes down to the promises of God, which never fail, and none of them fall to the ground, all of them are yea and amen in Christ. And as we mix faith with those promises, and that's exactly what they did. And I love the fact that even though the other 10 spies brought up all of these other issues and basically what they saw and their evaluation of the land that God sent them in to spy. Joshua and Caleb, because of faith, and this is what faith always does, it always advocates present possession. In other words, you won't find faith standing around with its hands in its pockets. It's always active. Now, some people say, but isn't there the principle of learning how to wait upon God? Absolutely. But even in our waiting, time is not wasted. Even during the waiting, God is working. And I think if we can keep that in mind, even though maybe God allows delays to take place in our lives, we should never interpret those delays as denials. We just need to keep trusting, keep walking by faith, keep waiting upon God. And we see that in the life of Joshua and Caleb, because imagine how frustrated they could have been as they had to wait 40 years. 40 years. In other words, they could have said to God, listen, we wanted the land. We wanted to go in immediately. We did not see ourselves the way the 10 spies saw themselves, as grasshoppers. We were men of faith. We believed what you told us. We trusted the promises of God. Why do we have to wander aimlessly in a desert for 40 years with these unbelievers? But they didn't. They just patiently waited, and God rewarded their faith.
Shocking, shocking. I think it's one person coined it like, we worship while we wait. And it reminds me of a principle in Psalm 81:16 that talks about getting honey from the rock. And we were sharing this in Frederick this weekend, that God has a provision in the immovable situations, in the unyielding situations. There's honey in the rock, and that honey is Him. And it's the same honey that was found in the lion's carcass in Judges 14. It's the honey that was found on the ground that Jonathan was eating when his father Saul made that decree that nobody can eat until their enemies are defeated. It's like Jonathan, just like Joshua, just like Caleb, had another spirit. And it's like, whatever situation you're in today, there's honey there. I mean, to think honey comes out of a rock is like, that doesn't make any sense. It's the same thing that does water come out of a rock? And that's why Moses was told to speak to it, not hit it. But we get frustrated. We hit the rock. But it's like, okay, God, I'm going deeper with you. And that's unnatural. But God says, this is the only way to power. This is the only way to courage. This is the only way to make the excellency of the knowledge of God to be made known. And honestly, I'm more convinced than ever that if it's not God, if there's no relationship with God, there's no power, and the devil will be stronger in my situation if I don't have a relationship with the Word, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fear will be prevailing, but here we know that the weakest believer on their knees is shaking hell today. It's a good thing.
It's interesting, too, when you think about the fact that Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing that the 10 spies saw. Mm. But the question that we ask ourselves is that all you see? If all you see are giants, if all you see are walled cities, if all you see is yourself like a grasshopper, but you don't see anything more than that, then your faith is going to stall, and you're going to settle for a wilderness experience instead of a promised land experience. Mm. So we have to ask ourselves, as we, you know, test ourselves, so to speak, examine ourselves, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, to make sure that we're functioning and living within the realm of the faith. Is that all I see? I know the problems are real. Because I think sometimes we as believers, we get accused by others of saying, well, you're not looking at the reality of the situation. You're not looking at the problems that exist in your life or in the world. But we are. But that's not all we see.
Yes.
We see God. We see His promise. We see the Spirit. We see His power. We see His grace. We see His mercy. We see His forgiveness. We see His restoration. We see His reconciliation. We see all of that. We see everything they see, but we see God. And that changes everything.
Amen. You know, it's funny. Maybe this is this was new to me. I was studying a little bit about grasshoppers, and it's interesting. They have ears on their bellies, which I didn't know. And it kind of gave me the impression as I was reading about how they function. It's like when one of the spies says we are like grasshoppers in their sight, they were so in tune with their appetite and so in tune with their naturalness and almost like an ear on their belly. They were so in tune with their hunger, but outside of God. And no wonder they made God so small in their life. And I think we as Christians, our only authority is the Bible. The only authority is through the power of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And I think if we're counseling or ministering or reassuring a believer, the only thing that's going to transform them, encourage them, bring courage, is speaking the Bible. Have you ever noticed you're on the streets and you're talking to somebody and maybe they say, I don't believe in the Bible. You know, why are you telling me about it? I don't believe in it. And it's like they almost want to bait you to leave that premise. Don't leave that premise. That's the only authority we have. We can certainly be creative. We don't have to necessarily quote chapter and verse. That could be valuable. But the speaking of truth, it's like pouring courage into someone's life. Like the word encourage in the Hebrew means to pour strength into somebody. And that's what this week was all about. And I love what Rich said. He's like, he is tuned in every day hearing doctrine. I think more than ever, where the devil is very active, and he is definitely not sitting around with his hands in his pockets or sitting on his hands. He is actively taking people out. And the only thing that keeps us, the only thing that kept Joshua and Caleb was the promise. What does the promise say? You know, it's interesting. We can know so many quotes from so many movies, but how many Bible verses are marinating in our heart, saturating in our heart? I say that to myself, right? You know, it's like, that's what's going to keep us from doing the strange thing, from entering the strange way in Proverbs 6. Well, we need the Bible. We need the Bible.
Amen. Nothing quite like a God-saturated soul, our hearts and minds filled with. Well, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That makes such a difference in our lives. Those phone lines are open. I'm a little surprised that we're not hearing from some of our listeners because, again, after a week like we experienced here last week during our international convention, I would have thought that perhaps more of our listeners would reach out to us. We hope you will. Again, the phone lines are open. Here are the numbers once again. Toll free is 800-338-7060 and that local number 410-483-3700. This whole thought of Caleb having another spirit, what would you say what makes up another spirit? What are the ingredients that we find in another spirit?
You know, I was going to ask you the same question. Like, I think it's what we internalize. Remember, Pastor Stevens used to say, "Garbage in, garbage out." It's sure. The same principle. What you, what you feast on with your eyes and your ears, and what you meditate on, it definitely changes your spirit. And I think Caleb and Joshua, they refused to look at the obstacle. They looked at Christ first. And I love Hebrews chapter 11. There's so many great points here. They embraced the promise. They confessed the promise. They walked in the promise. They were teaching one another the promise. So the another spirit really means that we're controlled by another spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I think we can be oppressed. We can be compressed by life's problems. And we can enter into this the spirit of fear, the spirit of being a skeptic, a cynic. But Caleb said, you know what? It's God. It's who God is that said it. And my confidence is in him. And maybe the book of Hebrews here, really quick, verse 13, they all died in faith, not having receive the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. This is where I really think it's key. Like, are we declaring it plainly? It's like that principle of the lion in the cage. I don't have to protect the lion. I just need to let him out of the cage. That's the gospel. I present and declare the gospel plainly. And then 11:27, they endured as seeing him who was invisible. And I love this chapter. I like to read this chapter a lot because this is our life. They were not ashamed of the promises in verse 16, you know, and they were heavenly minded. And so valuable, so valuable.
Amen. Back to the phones we go. Here in Baltimore, a call from Rene. Rene, welcome to the Grace Hour, sir. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It's
been an amazing time. I love this topic of Joshua and Caleb. You know, they remembered what God had done. They were the generation that saw God part the Red Sea and then drown the entire Egyptian army underneath it. And so was that generation that was there, that they were just on the threshold of a brand new life. But, isn't it easy to listen to the discouraging voices? Sometimes when God says have faith, and then the discouraging voices, you know, I saw this recently, last week when we were reading, in that, portion is we were grasshoppers in our own sight, you know, and yes, we're grasshoppers in our sight, but you know what? What can God do? I've seen, and that's what gets me through so often is I recall the faithfulness of God in the years that I've walked with him. And so I see that he's got to be faithful in this, you know, and so give me that mountain.
Yeah, I love that. It's such a great thought because after having believed the promise that God gave to Caleb, I think that he kept that promise in his heart throughout 40 years of wilderness wandering. Mm. And then when he finally entered into the land, he could once again declare before God, you know, give me that promise because I haven't forgotten it. It hasn't left my heart, and I still believe that you are as good as your word.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Rennie, thank you so much. Appreciate the comment.
All right. Thanks. Great program this morning. Thanks.
Appreciate that. God bless you. 800-338-7060. That's toll free locally. Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Let's go to Rick next. Rick is out in Las Vegas. And he's going to share with us some plans they have to head out to San Diego, California. Rick, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. I was just saying that yesterday that it was an awesome convention and got to speak with a lot of our great missionaries and pastors from around the world. And Pastor Jason, we got to touch on it, but... it's a very busy time at convention, but we're praying for greater grace to come out to San Diego and Los Angeles area. So just hoping that between Pastor Ronaldo and you, we can take courage and go out of this wilderness in the desert and take the gospel message. Amen.
Amen. I think there's a trip in November. Pastor Ronaldo is, you know, it's in his heart. He's making plans. There's a team. I love this idea of just believing God for the impossible, you know, and I think, again, you know, when we think in faith, it may be different than what we did before, but it all has roots in the same God. And I love the opportunity you shared with me. And I think as we pray, confess faith, go in faith, believe in faith, it'll come to pass if it's the will of God. And reaching souls, church planting, I think this is an amazing time to be church planting. If I'm a believer and just God's stirring us up to church plant, to church, to reach people, to people build, to share the gospel, this is a time, this is the time, at 4:14 of Esther, we are made for this time. So yeah, love the thought, sir. Great to spend time with you too. Thanks for your heart after God. It's amazing.
Amen. Well, thank you for your time. I'm actually on my way to church right now. We're going to have a Bible study, but we just want to let you guys know that we've been built up in the Word, and just we're activated and motivated until next year.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Right, appreciate the call. Phone lines are open. We still have a few minutes left in the broadcast. We can take your calls. So if you'd like, join us right away at 410-483-3700. And that toll-free number is 800-338-7060.
Pastor Love, I got to share this interesting verse. I've been thinking about it for several days in the conference. Romans 1:25. And I think we see the difference between the two, Joshua and Caleb, the leaders, and then the 10 followers, I want to say. But in 1:25, it says, who exchanged the truth of God, and we understand the context here, but I want to broaden it, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. And I just think every time we exchange the truth of God, who God is, for something lesser, for something self-oriented, or we take matters into our own hands without the Spirit's leading, and we exchange it. What a loss. It's truth falling in the streets because it's been exchanged for maybe for expediency, maybe opportunity, maybe because God's not following my plan. But when we hold fast to the truth, like Caleb and Joshua, then we don't exchange. We do not give up the eternal for the temporal. We do not cave. I love what Pastor said recently. He's like, Lord, keep us from caving in temptation, caving in the least path of resistance, caving and just following the majority and going the broad way. Oh, Lord, you know, it's don't exchange faith for sight, no matter how great the resistance. God is doing greater things in us and through us. Amen.
Yeah, amen. And that, of course, that danger is always present.
Always.
Always present in our lives. But we will, by God's grace, continue to walk by faith. And mixing faith with the promises of God is so vital, because in that same book of Hebrews that you quoted from in the 11th chapter, in the 4th chapter, we read about the fact that, you know, there were some that heard in the Old Testament the good news, a gospel preached, but they did not mix faith with what they heard, and as a result, no profit. I mean, faith produces great profit in our lives, but it only happens as we mix faith with what we hear. Now, someone might say, what does that exactly mean? What does it mean to mix faith with the Word of God? It means that you believe it. Don't get preoccupied and caught up with this whole idea of keeping it. Sometimes we have this idea that if we hear something, we have to immediately do it. Well, just believe God. Mix faith with that promise, and then wait upon the Holy Spirit's presence and power to bring it to pass in our lives. Don't be thinking, okay, I've got to hear a message and immediately go out and implement it. God says, just let it find its way into your soul. Open your heart. Give it entrance. That's what the word receive means. Mm. It means that you open your heart. You welcome the Word of God into your soul. Mary did that while sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha, busy, preoccupied, preparing meals, becoming anxious, pointing the fingers at other people. Mary sat at his feet and heard his word, and she welcomed the word of God into her soul. Was that the only position Mary adopted for the rest of her life? No. She too would become active. She too would get on her feet and begin to, again, after having mixed faith with those promises, see the results of those promises taking place in her life. But it all starts there.
Yes.
It's much like the book of Ephesians. The principles are clear. Sit, walk, stand.
Yes.
If you don't sit, you won't have anything with which to walk with.
Yeah, how many people get hijacked? It's his faith. I mean, you look at Hebrews 11. It's by faith. And I love verse 3. By faith we understand. I mean, without faith, nothing makes sense. great chapter, great thoughts there.
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, this is going to be an important week for all of us here in the Grace Hour, friends, because, again, the International Convention focused on taking courage. And now we're talking about what it means to be awakened to courage. In other words, what we've received, let what we've received quicken our hearts and minds so that when we face our challenges, challenges that are so much greater than who we are, we have something that God has placed within us to not just match those challenges and what they bring into our lives, but to overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Mm.
And because of God's presence, Christ in us, right? The Holy Spirit having made our hearts his home. Well, God's power is at work in us, and he is ready to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that is already at work in our lives. So we want to encourage you, stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll be talking about what it means to face our giants in the name of the Lord from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we'll have some fresh thoughts on that theme, on that subject, as we continue to allow God to awaken our hearts to courage. Pastor Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I just want to say great to have Horatio. I met him in France. Awesome believer there. Just on fire for God. Keep going, Horatio.
Yeah, amen. Great brother. Thank you. George, we apologize. We're out of time. Please give us a ring tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. Thank you all, friends, for joining us. And we hope that you will tune in a little less than 24 hours from now. We'll be back live on the air for the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. May God bless you until then.